Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He inspires small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need. There's the challenge.
He's Jim Blasingame,
the Small Business Advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
We're back. 34 after. Thank you very much for hanging around with us this morning. Tom Maysacker is our guest and our good friend. He's a speaker, a writer. He's one of the foremost authorities on branding that I know of. He's the author of a couple of books. One's called Sandbox Wisdom, Revolutionize Your Brand with the Genius of Childhood, and the sequel to that, which is called Sandbox Wisdom, the Four Sides of Sandbox Wisdom. He's our good friend, Tom Maysacker. Welcome back.
Hi, Jim.
It's good to have you back.
It's great to be back.
As always. Well, I can see that. I can see that it would be wonderful to be back on my show. Hey,
absolutely.
Tom.
Yes.
This thing called branding is such an interesting thing because remember the little girl in high school who was absolutely beautiful but didn't think she was?
Yeah.
You know, have you ever known people like that, a young lady who's beautiful but doesn't think she is, or a young man who's got lots of potential but doesn't have very much very high self-esteem, but they're just really talented and you know, have so much potential? I think small business owners are like that with the concept of branding. What do you think?
I think so to an extent. Also, it appears that they still think it's either a big business type of thing, purely a communication strategy or a logo or, you know, some kind of fancy name or advertising. And I think what's interesting is where small business has a great opportunity right now to differentiate themselves from the big businesses. It's the big businesses that are starting to jump onto this whole idea of branding. Take a look at the auto manufacturers, all the different styles and types that are coming out now to appeal emotionally. They're starting to get it, that we don't really care about the cylinders anymore,
mm-hmm.
You know, that we care about how it makes us feel when we buy one of these cars. It was interesting this morning. I got an email from, it's funny, I get emails, and it's from Julie, and I'm not really sure who Julie is, but it says, it said, "Hi, Tom. I have to go to a class this weekend, and one of the questions being asked of us is, what are the three most important issues facing managers and leaders today? You know, what do you think?" And I sat and thought about it, and the first thing that came to my mind, which led to the other two, was that leaders really don't understand what the intangible assets of their brands are. You know, why does your company exist beyond selling stuff and making money and paying employees and selling more stuff?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what uniquely differentiates your company in the hearts of your customers beyond price? And see, since they don't have that, that leads to number two. You have uninspired employees.
Right.
They really don't know why they're coming to work. They're running around following their own, you know, cover-your-ass agendas, and that leads to people hiding information.
Right.
Camouflaging facts.
Right.
So what happens? You get no fresh perspectives.
And you get... You get what my friend RQC and Cuddy calls us versus them.
Well, exactly right. And you stifle creativity, which means there's no innovation. You lose market share. You get layoffs or accounting scandals. It's a vicious spiral downward when you don't really know what you're in business for. What is unique about what you do? Why do you do it? Why do customers like coming there? Is it just force of habit? If so, you're in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're not developing a bond with them, somebody's going to take them away.
Mm-hmm.
I found it interesting when I read about larger companies that really, really get their brand and are obsessed with making sure that everything that they do just conforms to the feelings that people get from it. I was reading the other day, it was in the Wall Street Journal, Guinness tried to come up with a technology, an ultrasound technology to dispense their beer faster. They tried to get it to go in 25 seconds.
Right.
They called it fast pour because they thought that that it would boost sales among younger people who are less patient. And they found out that consumers thought that the slow pour reflects the spirit of the brand.
They call it pulling a pint.
That's right.
In
That's
Ireland,
right.
they call it pulling a pint.
That's exactly, and it says that the perfect pull takes 119.5 seconds.
That's right.
And there's a whole, there's a mystique to it.
Yeah.
And if you understand the mystique about your brand, then you can continue to build around that mystique.
Yeah, which was as much a part of the beer as the beer itself, wasn't it?
The experience is probably more about
exactly. Yeah, my friends in Ireland are complaining about that fast pour thing. Stand by, Tom. We're going to take a quick break. We got more branding discussion to come with our good friend Tom Asacker. 20 Till. Stay with us. We're back. 17 Till. Thank you very much for joining us. My pleasure to be part of your day and for you to be part of mine. Tom Asacker is our guest. He's the author of Sandbox Wisdom and The Four Sides of Sandbox Wisdom, which is a sequel. Tom, give us your website, please.
It's sandboxwisdom.com, all one word.
Yeah. And tell us what we'll find when we get there.
Oh, I go out to the Internet every month and look for articles that can help businesses connect with their employees and their customers, develop loyalty, and all around things like communication and branding and emotions and strategy. So, I'll spend a lot of time on the Internet, and I'll find all these articles in all the different business periodicals, both here and overseas, and I'll grab the best ones and publish them on the site.
And all that's free. I mean, they can visit your website. Do you have a newsletter?
I send it out once a month. There's
once
a little subscribe button. And basically all the newsletter says is, hi, we've posted new articles on the website.
Right.
And then we'll leave them up there for a month so you can come back and take them as you please.
Right. Tom, we're talking about branding. And what I said a minute ago about small businesses being like the young lady or the young man who's have a lot to offer but think that they don't. There's so many small businesses out there who are sitting on a brand gold mine. They've worked really hard. They've created something that's really special, and whether they realize it or not, maybe they lurched uncontrollably into excellence. You know, maybe consciously or unconsciously, but they've created something incredibly excellent. But because they're a small business, they don't realize that they can actually dominate with that, and so they sort of like. Like they taught us in Sunday school. You know, they hide their light under a bushel. They don't really maximize what they've created. And if more small business owners would just realize that having a dominant brand or at least an extremely effective brand, something that you can leverage with marketing, with advertising, and something, as you said, that you can actually meld your employees together with and build a more cohesive workforce together behind. If we would only realize that we may have that kind of a brand that is not just the domain of the big companies. We can have that too. Having a brand like that has nothing to do with whether you're a big company or a little company.
Absolutely not. If a small business has loyal repeat customers, it has a brand.
Mm-hmm.
Now, does it know what it is? See, that's the important thing, is understanding what I say, understanding the why behind the buy. You know, why do I choose this dentist? You know, I'm driving 10 miles to get there. I pass probably 50 other dentists. Why am I going to that dentist? And does my dentist understand why I do that? Because if he understands that, he can talk that language to all of his customers. He can do direct mailings and emphasize that. And that's what prevents me from being drawn away to somebody else, a reinforcement of the why behind that buy. whatever it is, whether I think he's got the best quality, you know, whether I think he's got the friendliest staff, whatever it is, there's a reason that I'm going back there. And it's important for small businesses to uncover that reason. And that reason is quote-unquote, the brand. It's not a logo. It's nothing. It's the reason, emotional reason, why somebody continues to do business with you. Once you determine that, you turn on your entire organization to think of ways to enhance that reason. Oh, they think this? Good. Let's give them another reason to think that through our advertising, through our service, through some special offer. Whatever it is, let's continue to reinforce that brand. Because even the great brands, and I would consider Harley-Davidson probably to be the greatest in the world, mm-hmm. because people are putting their logo on their body.
That's right. They're tattooing.
Yeah, imagine that if I tattooed my dentist's name on my arm. You know,
yeah.
Then he'd have the strongest brand. But, I mean, Harley-Davidson is having their 100-year birthday party this year, you know, where everybody gets together. There'll be hundreds of thousands of people mm-hmm. celebrating a motorcycle. Think about it. You know, I don't know what's so special about a motorcycle. Even their motorcycles aren't the best in the world.
But here's the thing. Look how many years they operated without realizing that they had what they had.
Absolutely right.
Because, as you know, in the 80s, they actually went into bankruptcy.
That's right. That's exactly right. So they had a brand. They didn't really understand what it was. Once they did understand what it was, they built upon that brand, and they mm-hmm. never deviated from it. They didn't make a Harley minivan.
Right.
You know?
But I will tell you this, Tom, for small business owners, your brand is not a thing. It is not a thing. Would you agree, Tom, that for big companies, it can come nearer being a thing than you know something you can hold than for small companies? But for small companies, it's not about the thing that you sell. It's about how you deliver it.
Well, Harley-Davidson, one of the executives of Harley-Davidson wrote up in a book that what his brand is, he says it's not the motorcycle. They mm-hmm. He says they manufacture attitudes. He said what his brand is the ability for a 43-year-old accountant to dress in black leather, ride through small towns, and have people be afraid of him. and what they try to do is stay true to that attitude. So, yeah, it's not the thing. Look at Southwest Airlines. They don't have a thing. They're a strong brand,
mm-hmm.
you know.
They got planes and just like all the other airlines, but there's something about the way they deliver that.
Absolutely
that
right.
Makes a difference. Hold on to that thought, Tom. Tintil. We'll be right back with our good friend Tom Masacker. He's the author of Sandbox Wisdom. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Back at 7 till. Tom Masacker is our guest and our good friend. Tom, we're talking about branding, by the way, folks. And Tom, one of the things that I've been thinking a lot about with regard to small business branding is the concept of the difference between what people need and what they want.
Right.
And I've been really thinking about this more and more, and I've been trying to write about it as much as I can and talk about it as much as I can. And that's to help small business owners understand why we do what we do and how we can differentiate ourselves, as you said earlier, how we can distinguish ourselves in the marketplace. And what I've decided is that people need things and they want things. Let's let the big box companies give people what they need, because what they need, if they need it, it's a commodity.
Right.
If they want it, it's special. They want to eat. They need to eat, but they want to dine.
Right.
They need shelter, but they want a home.
Mm-hmm.
They need tires, but they want safety and peace of mind.
That's it.
And so what we have to do as small business owners is build our brands around what people want and maximize our brands around what they want, because the war, the battle, whatever you want to call it, for what people need, that war is over. We lost that war. That ship has sailed. We're never going to win the war as small business owners for what people need.
Right.
Because the big box companies can sell stuff cheaper than we can buy them.
Yep.
The commodity things. We can only really compete and be dominant if we focus on what people want. And there's plenty of those kinds of things.
Oh, well, that's the thing. I mean, we should never underestimate how bored people are, you know, how tired they are, how frustrated they are. Those particular needs, if you will, those aren't satisfied by the big box. You know, we've got to figure out how to give people a better state of mind. You know, how do we provide them with some relief from everything they're going through in life? They don't get that from the big box. And anybody that thinks that people buy commodity items today, that's what they're after, that's crazy. I mean, if you look back to the old days, my grandmother bought commodities. She bought an egg, flour, sugar. Mm-hmm. She mixed it all together and made a cake. Who does that? Nobody does that. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, nobody even buys cake mix. Now they go to Chuck E. Cheese and have a big birthday party.
That's right.
So don't people want experience?
And more's the pity.
That's what I'm saying.
I miss Grandma's cakes. I'm sorry, Tom. Sorry to digress on you there, but
but I mean, you see, if you really believe that what people want is cheap stuff, then how come they're not buying eggs, flour, and sugar and making their own cake?
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't. Their time is more important to them than eggs and flour.
That's the big thing. That's the big news today, isn't it?
It is.
That our money and our stuff is important to us. And the truth is, time has always been more valuable to us than our money and our stuff. But do you believe that in the last few years, we've only really recently realized that?
Oh, absolutely. And on top of that, now when we do spend our precious time going someplace, it better be a decent experience.
Mm-hmm.
If I go to the bank and I get somebody giving me an ugly look,
right,
I realize that I just took that little precious amount of time and made myself feel bad about a portion of that little time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we're going to do that, we want to feel good about that portion of time. And that's where small business has a big edge, because they can make us feel better. They can give us the personal service. They can tell us things to make us feel good about ourselves.
And that's where the want is.
Oh, that's big want.
That's where the want lives.
Absolutely. Look at how many people sit on psychiatrist couches all day and how many are popping Prozac. People aren't feeling good about themselves. They're really depressed and down. If you can bring them up, that's worth a lot of money. It's worth $100 an hour, mm-hmm, to a psychiatrist.
Well, and the thing is that's the other thing, is we have to realize that when people want something, they'll pay more for it. And if we're the people they get it from, we should be able to charge them for that.
Absolutely.
And
you know what? They'll happily give you the money for it.
And research has shown that if you can deliver what they want, they'll pay 20% more than what they need.
Listen, I heard a place, there's a farm, a Danish farm that sells free-range, you know, eggs from free-range hens.
Yeah.
They spend four times more for those eggs than they do from the supermarket, because of the experience of going, pushing the chicken out of the nest and getting the egg.
I know.
People
that's
don't
so funny.
Make sense.
That just reminded me of growing up on the farm, and we didn't think they were free-range eggs. They were just eggs. Hey, Tom, thank you for being here. Good job today.
Thank you, Jim. Give us your
website one more time.
It's sandboxwisdom.com. There's an email link, so if anybody has any ideas on how I can get this message across a little bit better to small business, please send me an email.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you, Jim.
Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.